You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know? But that's a part of life.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, that was the American fade. Welcome to Journeys with JP. This is going to be a very juicy journey today. My guest, also known as Aurora, say, I had a guest on my show last night who was also called Aurora, and it's the Aurora weekend. It's the dawn of a new age. It really is. We were talking about the Rainbow Lasagna portal form, and today we're going to go through the other portal. We're going to use the sacral center as our doorway into interstellar and ultrastellar mechanisms. I don't know if I could finish that sentence coherently. Anyway, good afternoon. And my guest today is also, as I said, known as Aurora. And let's you have a special name that I cannot pronounce. So do you want to introduce yourself with that special name, please?
Sure. Aurora Xian Xuan. So Xian is immortal, and Xuan means mysterious. So mysterious immortal.
Mysterious immortal. Where did that masked immortal come from?
Where did that name? You're asking where that name came from?
Well, I was just kind of making a sort of
I see.
Lone Ranger. Who was that masked man came from? But yeah. Well, why not? You know, do you have that, any of that information?
Well, that name was given to me by a teacher. It was an initiate name. So when I was initiated into a particular Taoist group, that was the name I was given.
Okay, Taoism. Now, Taoism, I can get down with. I can get down. Yeah, I can get down. Here's the thing, you know, Taoism and Tantra and all of these things, they're not religious, and that's what I like about them. It's very refreshing. It's about the spirit, and it's about the energy of the body, and recognizing that body itself has its own energy pathways. You know, it's linked into medicine and the understanding of the chakras and, or the chakras. I always say sh instead of ch. Anyway, the energy of the chakras and all of those levels of understanding, they're all tied up with the understanding that it's not just about, you know, getting your leg over. It's very much more of a creative pursuit, as it were. In some ways. So, do you want to, sorry, take a deep breath. where would you like to dive into the pool?
First of all, I would just like to say a little bit about what I'm about, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. And then weave in. That's the sort of direction that we're going in. So you can tell your story and your journey. This is what it's about, and everything that you learn comes in on that whole story. So,
I actually don't need to tell a huge story about myself, but I guess I just wanted to say, first of all, hello to all of your listeners, and thank you, JP, for inviting me. We already had our own show this morning. So it was really nice to talk with you. And as I said earlier, your mission in life has meant a lot to me. It's really, given me, a lot of gifts. So I very much appreciate that. And, I appreciate everyone who's listening and who, Vanessa, shout out to you. And everybody who's, who's on the chat. I've been listening now for about 6 months, and I've started to learn some people's handles, and it's really fun. You have a great group of people. And, anyway, so I just want to say thank you, first of all. And secondly, I just want to say also that, the reason I'm here, the reason I even contacted you, JP, I'm not here to necessarily advertise for myself in any way. I'm here because I've been very concerned about our world and sexuality and the way it's being used pretty much against humanity. And in listening to so many of your amazing speakers, Simon Parks and Alex Collier and some of the other ones, I just haven't yet heard about sexuality, and it's a big, huge story. If we're going to talk about Anunnaki, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. It's a pretty big story, and it doesn't really get talked about. And so that was my main purpose in contacting you, because I wanted to bring in some of that.
Well, that sounds a great subject. So we're going from, sacred tantric sexuality, through ETs, sex ETs, time traveling Nazis. That's the kind of show that we love here on Journeys, because, what more is there in life than talking about this kind of stuff? No, please. It is all linked, and it's crazy, and it sounds crazy, and it sounds like a bunch of paranoid tinfoil hat wearing nutters. But what you're talking about is that you've studied this as a discipline. The energy pathways of the body, and it's not nothing. It's not stupid. It's not mumbo jumbo. It really does work, and matches and maps directly onto Ayurvedic medicine and acupuncture meridian lines and all of the whole Nadi thing, all of that stuff all connects together into a truth that is, pretty much self-supporting and self-evident as defining its truth. And in those ways, it's a lot more stable to define what is going on in the woo-woo world than your Western medicine doctor, who is trained that the spirit there is a product of the complex consciousness. So do you want to take that as a launch pad? Or did I lose you? Oh.
No,
sorry, because I'm looking over here towards my mic, and your pictures.
Yeah, okay. So, what I'm noticing is I'm coming in with my bit of agenda, and you've just handed me another agenda. So so do you have a question for me?
Okay, that's all right. Well, okay. let's start at the beginning then.
All right.
It's because we talked about a whole load of different things.
I do want to say that when I said that I listened to, to Wolf Spirit Radio, I've completely enjoyed everything, and I'm not saying that anything is lacking. It's just that there is a story to be told and a focus to be told about our sexuality and how, because, our sexuality affects every single part of our life. There's no part of our existence that isn't connected to our sexuality. And, when you talk about religion, the difference between a religion and, say, Tantra, Tantra can be religious because it encompasses everything. What's happened in many religious practices is they have separated sexuality and spirituality. And so what that has done is it's really thrown us into a state of imbalance and not being able to understand that our sexuality is a very sacred, spiritual. I mean, our sexuality is what actually makes us ascend to heaven. So, you know, if I wanted to control people, I would control their sexuality. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, when we read about the Anunnaki or we read about, you know, the gods in the Bible, when we talk about the reptilians, one of the very first thing they did was have sex with the humans. And it was a way in which to control them. And it was a way in which to take away their spiritual power. And so this is why I wanted to bring up sexuality in that way.
Excellent. Sexuality and the Narkis. So where would you like to start? I mean, should we go back? Where's my time back? I just have to engage my time machine. Hang on. Here's the time machine. There we go. Now, how's that? That's about 500,000 years. Is that, have I gone too far back?
I guess, you know, all right. Well, okay. I'll bite on that. You know, there was a couple other things I wanted to sort of, start with first, but.
All right. Okay. Well, in that case, you know, wherever you want, you turn, you've got the control panel. There we go.
Okay. All right. Well, I think one of the first things I want to just talk about is what, my studies have, you know, been in Sufism, in Tantric Buddhism, in Hinduism, in, you know, Kama Sutra, and in Taoism. And I would say that my heart lies a lot in Taoism, and the way in which I look at sexuality is from definitely a Taoist perspective. And my own personal practice, which is a massage practice, which is a massage that actually is about ascension. You know, one of the things I realized is that you could go to a therapist for like 20 years, or you could go to and have a massage somewhere, you know, by somebody. But if your sexuality is not being addressed, you're not really going to truly heal, because that's something that is, it's not something you could talk about. It's something that the body has, and it's a, you know, something very visceral. So what I want to do is, I actually, if it's all right, I would just like to start with the Taoist perspective of our sexuality. And then I'm going to move into what that means for us right now in this world. And then why it's important that when our sexuality got hijacked, what it did to us. So first of all, in Taoism, we have, the Taoists, looked at humans and the energies in us, and they call them the three treasures. And, you know, the word treasure, obviously, that when you think of that word, you think of something that's valuable, right? Something that you want to protect, something that, that you don't want to just like, leave out so that somebody could come and steal. So the three treasures in Taoism would be considered, Jing, Qi, and Shen. And so Jing, spelled J-I-N-G or C-H-I-N-G, is our sexual energy, is what's called life force energy. And the most concentrated form of it would be the ovum and sperm. That's the most concentrated form of life force energy. Qi is synonymous with prana, and it's also synonymous with the Latin word spiritus, which is, you know, the breath of life, or spirit being breathed into the body. Qi is what animates the body and makes it, brings it life, just like, you know, Adam was breathed in the breath of life. And then Shen, C-S-H-E-N, is spirit and spirit mind. And so those are like the three elements that are the treasures that are to be cultivated and protected in the body. And we have three different centers in the body that each of those live in. And the Taoists were very earth-based, so they would use symbols that had to do with the earth. So they called them Dantians, and Dantian means field of elixir. So field is like something that you plant things in, you cultivate things in, you want to grow things in. And an elixir obviously is something that, has power in it and, has something that, is nourishing to the body. So, the upper Dantian would be in the, upper regions. So we're talking about, especially if we talk about the glands of the body, we're talking about the pineal, the pituitary, the Ajna chakra, the crown chakra. You'd even probably could consider the throat chakra being part in parcel, a certain amount of the Dantian, partly because we're talking about the mind and what feeds the mind. And, of course, chanting and, you know, prayers and all of that is also part of feeding the spirit, the shun. And then the middle Dantian is in a different place than for man. So the middle Dantian is actually in between the two nipples for the female, right? There's an indentation right in the middle of the chest there, and that's the middle Dantian. And then for the female, the lower Dantian is about three fingers below the navel. For men, the middle Dantian is three fingers below the navel, and the lower Dantian is where the perineum is. So that's the point right before, behind the scrotum. So those are the three places that a Taoist would store and cultivate Jing, Qi, and Shen, those three treasures. So when we think about...
Just to clarify it.
Yes, yeah.
You're not generating them all three in each thing. One corresponds to one energy and the other, so the centers where you're holding them each hold Jing, Qi, and Shan.
Spirit? Yeah, I would say that.
Or is it, you know, have you got all three in each chakra, or is it one chakra holds Jin, one holds Qi, da da da, like that?
Yeah. Well, they're really not chakras, they're field of elixirs. It's really a little different than the chakra system.
I said center, but you know, it's like a center. It's a focusing point. But is it that each one of those centers has a class of those three energies? Is that right?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. They would be, but there would probably the field of elixir, like in the upper Dantian, there would be a lot more focus on what would feed the mind, which of course is meditation and, you know, things that fill the mind rather than deplete it, like, you know, dispersive thinking or a lot of talking, right? And in the lower Dantian, you know, this is where the sexual organs are. So, you want to build qi in that area. And a woman would build qi in her middle Dantian, and a man would build qi in his lower Dantian. And the qi is the three treasures. This is how to look at it. It's like having a trust fund. It's like a bank account. And when they're depleted, when they're completely depleted, the spirit leaves the body and you die. And so, you know, there is a saying that sex is the reason that you're born, and sex is the reason that you die. In China, the emperors would have many, many wives, many consorts. And it was problematic because they were losing a lot of their jing because they had to satisfy a lot of women. And so many of them would you know, become ill, and they would call in these doctors, and they would all basically say, there's lots of sort of texts written about this, that you need to conserve your treasures. You need to conserve your Jing. And they actually came up with a way to be able to do that. So I guess really what I'm trying to say here is these treasures need to be cultivated and they need to be conserved. So if someone is losing their Jing, their sexual energy, so that basically means for a man, the way that he loses his Jing is by ejaculating. For a woman, the way she loses her Jing is two ways. One is by having a baby, because that takes an enormous amount of life force energy. But the other way is to have a period every month. So these are ways in which we automatically are, you know, get depleted. And so in both, you know, Indian Tantra and Taoist Tantra, there was always a, I know, you know, even if you look at mystic Catholicism, these teachings are really in there still too, that there was they were very concerned about keeping the body youthful. And obviously if you're, you know, a person in power, you want to reign for as long as you can. They wanted to be able to have youthfulness in their older age, where you could have both wisdom and you could still maintain, you know, an erection and live a very healthy
life.
If
I knew then what I know now, I'll be down there. I'll be down there seeing, but I don't, I can't keep it up anymore. Anyway, sorry.
Well, and that's, you know.
A little characterization there.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's like, you know, if I knew I was going to live so long, I would have better taken better care of myself. So really the idea is, that if you conserve or if you use your Jing in a way in which you can keep your body and it's very, you know, one of the, so for men and women, we'll just talk about the masculine and the feminine. For women, her greatest fear is losing her youthfulness and beauty. It's one of the greatest fears that women have. That's why we spend so much money on things that are cosmetic or on things, you know, that have to do with, you know, trying to look young, right? Well, men, they spend a lot of money on their erections, right? So men's biggest fear is actually losing their erection and getting to a point in their life where they lose that. And so what's interesting, and you know, I've been doing the kind of work I've been doing for quite some time now. But one thing I've noticed is that men younger and younger are coming in with sexual dysfunction in terms of, you know, not being able to either get erect or to have other, you know, things. And that shouldn't be happening, you know, so it concerns me, like, why is that happening? And I think that it's very connected to the internet, because people are starting to explore things earlier and earlier, or being exposed to things earlier and earlier. And so in a certain way, the masculine energy is being siphoned off. Their life force is being siphoned off. Now, I really never hear anybody talk about this, and I don't want to sound like, you know, the church mom or something like that. But from my perspective, this is concerning to me, because, you know, we should all be healthy and enjoy our sexuality through our whole life, because that is partly what keeps us in, you know, in a bonded relationship with our beloved. It also makes us feel alive, and it also is that ecstatic energy that that opens up those chakras and ascends us, you know. So anyway, that's kind of an introduction. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I understand you're kind of new to this and it's fine. It's just you and me. So.
Okay. Well, you know, I, it's funny because I, when I spoke with you this morning, I got to see you and it's different just talking to myself.
Oh, it's like talk to the hand. It's because the face.
Yes, I am actually talking to your hand.
Yeah, literally. Because let me just look. Let's just. There we are. I just turned on my camera so that
okay.
I got my headphones on and it's less relaxed. Now, so. Anyway, I'm talking to Aurora. No.
Gentleman. Doesn't matter. You could just say HH.
All right. Aurora Healing Towel, because your website is what?
HealingDaoMassage.com.
HealingDaoMassage.com, where Dao is spelled T-A-O, correct?
T-A-O. Yeah.
Because it's a pronunciation between T and D. So you might hear a T or you might hear a D, depending on your dialectical ears. Dialectic ears? Yeah. But the ears of your dialect. Anyhow. So we're talking about, how sexuality has been, hijacked. We've all been trauma. I mean, I do have to, you know, this is, you know, it's not just about sex and it's about power and control. And it's also about our path towards freedom. And they all have to go through the same gateway that we come and get, well, that we certainly come into this lifetime with, which is, you know, through the yoni, through this place, this portal. Do you want to take off from there? Is that a good
sure.
place?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
We're launched out at a rate, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we had talked a little bit about was this idea of soulmates, and feeling like we're not complete, you know? And so one of the things that I noticed in the work that I was doing, is that there is a sense of hunger, you know, amongst both the masculine and the feminine, and that it's never enough, you know, and in a way we're always getting these messages like, are you doing it the right way? Are you getting enough sex? Is it good enough? Is it, you know, and it's very sort of performance oriented.
Yeah. Especially if you're in Cosmo every month.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what I also mean by being siphoned off in terms of like, it's like we're obsessed with it, but it's never satisfying. It's sort of like, you know, that first, you know, your first taste of ice cream. And it's like that first taste is, oh my gosh, that is such heaven. But then after you've eaten the full quart, it's like, oh my God, that's hell. Right.
That's right. So well, like, there's the thing that, which is, that's nice. That makes me feel good. If I take another spoon, it'll make me feel twice as good, but that actually makes you feel half as good.
That's it. That's it. So it's not like the more having more, it's more like the quality of it and also the attention that you give to it. So what I noticed really is that most people don't even have sex in their body. They're too much in their mind. And one of the first things that I say to any of the people who come see me is the first thing you have to do is relax. That's number one. Because these energies are not going to move in your body if you're not really relaxed.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to have sex with an ironing board.
Right, right. And you know, when you're trying to perform, you're never relaxed, you know? We are very performance oriented. Women are just as performance oriented as man. Why would women fake orgasms if it wasn't about performance, right?
What's a faked orgasm?
What's that?
What's a faked orgasm? Do you really know women who fake orgasms? I've never met one, to be honest. But anyway.
Do you?
I've faked one or two, you know. Boom. Anyway, no, but really, is that really still a thing? are people not more authentic, you know, just faking it and like get over with? That's very sad, well, isn't it?
I, you know, all I can say is that, I don't know what still is still a thing, but I imagine that it probably still happens. And I think in just terms of, sweetie, I just want to go to bed, or this man really wants me to make him feel good or whatever, you know, and so it's something that women can do and they probably do. So,
it's that pie, isn't it? It's that special pie that, who was it? I can't remember. She's got a bloke's name. I'll have what she's having. Anyway, never mind. When Harry Met Sally.
Right.
What's
right.
the girl's name? She's got a boy's name and did this big... Anyway. Yeah, so, look.
What I was saying is just that we're very performance-oriented with that. Yeah. And what I've really found is that has to do with the ego, you know, that the ego in us, you know, has to somehow use the body to satisfy itself, and so if you relax and just let the body and the life of the body alone, actually many wonderful things can happen, and it really means that you relax, and it really means you slow down and you really focus in on every single thing you can feel, you know, rather than what's supposed to happen or you know, what should happen next. So you slow it, you really slow it down, and you really connect with your body. You've got to connect with your body first before you connect with anyone else's body. So I don't know how we got onto that. Do you?
Well, it's about, not shagging an ironing board. You know, it's very, actually, okay. Memories come floating back because you put those ones away, don't you? You don't think about, once or twice. And it's, how to get to somebody's warmth. And is it really, you know, people come with different expectations to it. Really?
Well, yeah. And that's partly the problem is the expectations. Again, the expectations have been an industry that has been created for us to, that we've all bought into. So the porn industry is a huge expectation industry, right? And, in a lot of ways, it has allowed, I would say the AI to sort of hijack our sexuality. And what I mean by that is, one of the things I had written earlier to Simon Parks is that I believe that the AI really wants to distract us from ourselves and want to have sex with us.
So in a way, are we talking like Data is trying to find out about, he's trying to get inside the human? Because he still can only see the human from the outside.
Yeah, I think so. And also to distract us from each other, in terms of, you know, if I'm just going to, you know, hook myself up to a computer, and have my orgasm that way. Or if I'm even going to, as a woman, you know, even hook myself up to, you know, an instrument, you know, like a vibrator or something like that. Mm.
I won't say Jack. No, I will say Jack Rabbit. Everybody, you know, all the girls have a Jack Rabbit. It seems.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And then you relegate men to just an operator.
In terms of some of that, what happens is it desensitizes us for the person in front of us,
exactly.
Or even to our own self. You know, our own hands or somebody else.
And it's all about desensitization.
It really is.
All the. And I can't watch even British TV anymore because of the what we call being bombarded. Literally, we're being bombed by images and sounds and aggression and sexuality and trying to bond this idea that sexuality is an aggressive sport, you know, and it's competitive and it's like all of these, it's very reptilian and very, as you say, it's controlling an AI. So do you want to move into that zone and, bring us into how, like at the beginning of the show, how do we link up AI, non-sacred sex? How do we tie those together?
Well, okay. Yeah. So again, you know, these are not things that I normally would talk to any of my clients about, but because this connects, you know, so much with, the agenda, you know, of the humans on this planet.
And this is why I like to have people on the show who talk to people who are, a barometer for their own zone, as it were. And that's when I talk to people on the show, bring them together, and then I get a barometer of barometers so that we can all together see how the world, we're grandstanding the ascension. We're seeing how people are ascending. And so, we've got
exactly
about 90 more minutes. We've got a break in half an hour or 25 minutes. Okay. So, try not to let me interrupt you too much. Just hold your hand up and say, look, don't interrupt me. Shut up and let me speak. All right. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So there are both the, AI, or as Barbara Marciniak calls them, the arty intel, which I kind of like that name because it makes them sound less ominous. And then there's the reptilians, you know, okay? And they both in their own ways are hijacking our sexuality. I'm going to get to the reptilians in just a second, but what I want to talk about just briefly, because in a way I really feel like we've got to wake up to what's happening to us technologically. And, you know, the AI agenda is basically to make hybrids of us all, you know, and to basically become, you know, to make humans obsolete. And that might be a choice humans make. But I think that we should be at least aware of making that choice if that's what we're going to make, to, you know, to decide, well, okay, just make me a bionic, you know, being and make me look like however I want to look like, and I'll just, you know, live my life. Or there may be some of us that really want to stand up for being human and appreciating what makes us human. So the things that I would look for is, first of all, if we look at any technological, big technological event that we've had, a lot of it has come through sex, in terms of, like, that's how the internet was built, is through, you know, porn. So that's how it grew so quickly. Right now, I have a theory that Bitcoin is being partially made through, just because a lot of sites now use Bitcoin, a lot of porn sites or a lot of sites that, you know, like back page.
It's
and
a way
like
to
that.
Anonymously transfer money, so
exactly.
So you can pay for
very
your naughty little
way.
Habits.
Yeah, and Bitcoin is all really about you know, really growing AI. I think, you know, it's mining. It's using. It's, you know, it's mining. You know, it's like its own earth. The internet is its own earth, or, you know, technology its own earth, and everything is being mined from that. And so you get these people who are like really geniuses, and you can make money. So I think that's another way. And then, of course, there are androids now that are really becoming quite human-like. They're programmed to bond with humans. They are anatomically correct. They are, you know, they are very, you know, we've just had even just like, you know, comics and all kinds of, you know, video games have all created the feminine to look very robotic in a certain way, to have a certain body type and to look, you know, attractive in that certain way. So it makes sense that if you create a robot and she's proportionate to whatever your fantasy is, then what use would you have for a real woman? You know, she's going to be there whenever you want. She'll do what other women wouldn't want to do. And she'll bond and she'll say all the things that you want her to say. You can program her any way that you want. And so for men, and we'll talk a little bit, you and I talked a little bit earlier about the anger and the sadness that men have towards the feminine, the masculine has towards the feminine, and the anger and the sadness that the feminine has towards the masculine. But you put AI in the mix, and that we don't have any reason to work it out, because now, F you, I'll just go into the room and I'll be with my vibrator, yeah, or I'll be my sex bot, and I don't really need to couple with you. I don't really need to bond with you because, I can bond with something else. So I don't know. I mean, I can't see into the future and know how this all plays out, but I think this is a big red flag, and I don't really hear anybody talking about what this actually really means for us. If we're having sex with robots, it's just like, we are really having relationships now with AI. And there's a really interesting show. I think it's on British television, but I watched it on Amazon. It's called Humans. I don't know if it's Human or Humans. Have you heard of it?
Is it new?
It is new. It's a British, because it takes place in England.
Probably might be a BBC thing.
It's all about these robots that are now being sold, and people are using them, for the hired help in the, household. But also they have the mechanism that people can have sex with them too. And it's really about these AI becoming sentient beings in terms of now, having consciousness and, being sentient beings. So I think these are things that we really have to look at and be aware of, because one of the things that I remember Simon saying about humans is that they're not stupid, but they're naive. Mm. And that we've let a lot of things come in to our world and accepted them because we thought they would be okay, like the smartphone, which is really making us dumb, and we're actually losing some of the gifts that we have as humans. And so as a person who is a sexual healer and spends a lot of time reading and working with people around sexuality, I have a concern about how we are being used and perhaps manipulated into not connecting with each other. And I could even foresee a time where, people would never have to leave their homes, really, or have any relationships outside of anything that's technical. And actually, that's probably what happens now. You just sit and, watch TV all day, or still it's happening now, right? But people not leaving their couch and going out into nature and having relationships with other people. It just could, watch TV and don't have to deal with anyone. So I'm not saying anything that I'm sure people don't know. I just wanted to bring in the aspect of our sexuality and how it's affecting our sexuality. So I'd like to segue now. That's kind of the AI agenda. But I'd like to segue now to the reptilian agenda. And I actually wrote this out. There was an interview that David Icke did with Credo Mathwa, who is a Zulu, an African Zulu shaman. And they have a creation story that is really an interesting one. And I want to read it, and I want to also talk about, sort of like what happened to humans in which, sort of have made us not feel as complete. And also, you know, when you look at men and you look at women, first of all, women, sexually are a lot stronger than men in terms of, you know, they can have an orgasm and it won't deplete them as much as it will a man, you know, maybe a slight bit, but not as much as actually losing semen. They're just a lot stronger in a lot of different ways. But their libido also is not as high as testosterone, you know, creates a lot stronger libido than estrogen. And so it does seem like a really, you know, if you were talking about, you know, a creator creating, a perfect species that would, harmonize with each other really well, I don't think whatever creator that was, I think they did a really pretty shitty job. Yeah. So it begs the question of like how and why if in nature you see things working in such perfect harmony, why are humans not, you know, why don't we jive in a way in which we can really be as complete and satisfied with each other as we would like to be. So I'm going to read this story, and I will send you the YouTube link if you want it. But let me just read this story, okay? You know, you can all just settle in, and this is your bedtime story. And then after this story, it might be time for a break. I'm looking at the time. So this is almost verbatim the way Credo Matua tells it. There was a time when the sky, the blue sky, was invisible and the world was covered with mist and the sun was only a flash of light through the heavy clouds. Every day there was an eternal drizzle. People could not see the stars. They could only see the trees growing, and there was no desert. At that time, the humans were both male and female in one body. I just want to repeat that. At that time, the humans were both male and female in one body. One day, out of the sky came a huge, terrible object that looked like, huge, terrible objects, plural, that looked like bowls made of huge, gleaming gold as big as mountains. They came with black smoke and fire. Out of those huge objects came what the humans later called the Chitahuri. Before that time, humans did not speak. There were no languages. But humans had great mental power. For instance, they could talk telepathically with the animals. They did not need to hunt any animals. They would telepathically speak to an animal and he would kneel down and freely give his life. They spoke telepathically with each other and they understood automatically each other's minds. But when the Chitahuri arrived in Africa, they told the people that they were gods and that they were going to give the human beings a great gift on one condition, that they would worship them and accept them as their creators. Some Chitahuri told the people that they were their elder brothers and this earth had produced them generations ago. They said they came back to the green womb to their mother and that they were going to make the humans into gods. So the Chitahuri dug a strange pair of caves in the land. In one cave, there was a green light. In the other cave, a red light. Each human being had to choose which cave they wanted to go into. Then they drove the human beings into these caves. Those who went into the green cave came out as a woman. Those who went into the red cave came out as a man. The Chitahuri told the people that they were now perfect. But the moment the first men saw the first women, a terrible row erupted. The women hated the men because they looked between their legs and they saw what they thought were snakes dangling between the legs of the men. The men hated the women because they looked on their chests and they saw these big things and they didn't know what they were. Then the Chitahuri laughed at the humans. To them, this was a very big joke. Then the Chitahuri said, "If you serve us, you wretched little human beings. We will make you into gods. And the human beings agreed. And the Chitahuri gave humans another gift, the gift of language. People started talking with their tongues when before they talked with their minds only. Suddenly there was confusion. This man didn't know what that man was saying, and that man didn't understand what another man was saying. They began to think that others were insulting them, and the words created the illusion that they were being offended by each other. When the humans were given language, they found to their horror that they had lost much of their mental powers. They had paid a terrible price, but the Chitahuri were now the masters of the human being. They forced the humans to mine gold, copper, tin, and all kinds of metals. The humans were very unhappy because they couldn't cope with the new sexual differences which were present now between men and women. Then, from amongst the Chitahuri, came a very good female Chitahuri. Her name was Mayan Zarwani Samahong. She was the senior wife of the terrible chief of the Chitahuri, Umbaba Gorontwari Samahong. She felt sorry for the human beings, this great reptile lady. She said to the poor humans, "I see you are unhappy." "Yes, great ones," said the humans. "We go into the holes every day. We dig the stones and we bring it to the gods, but we are terribly unhappy." Mayan Zaratwani scratched her scaly skin. She began to think and think. She was terribly ugly. Her eyes were awful, like lights in the darkness. But she had mercy in her heart. Then she taught the men and the women how to make love. She said, "We divided you into males and females. Now this action is going to bring you together." Ah, but it did not, because anyone who receives a gift from the children of the python is always in trouble. What happened was that when one man slept with his wife, he didn't find her attractive enough, so he would go sleep with another man's wife. So men started stealing each other's wives and girlfriends, and women started stealing each other's husbands, and there was a big disturbance in the land. King Umbaba, the terrible lord of the reptiles, said, "Look what you have done, you stupid old woman. Now these humans are making such noise. Listen to all the screaming in the bush. They're all busy making love, and they're not working the mines anymore. You are responsible for this mess." Samayan Zarwandhari thought and thought again. Then she came up with a plan. "I will make them stop," she said. "When they make love with each other, the female is going to get pregnant. When she is pregnant, the male will leave her alone. And that noise in the bush will not be so disturbing to you, my lord." And Umbaba said, "This had better work, as there is no production here." So all the women in the world got pregnant. What's that?
What could go wrong?
So all the women in the world got pregnant, and Umbaba was furious with his wife. And so it went on and on until one day Zwantahari activated a black hero called Nuero. And Nuero challenged the great chief of the serpent people to fight. In the fight with Nuero, he cut off the royal penis of the king of the snake people. This caused a big war. Nuero ran away, but Umbaba the Terrible caught him and arrested him and brought him to his village. Umbaba said, "Look, you cut off my penis, and I've replaced it with a gold one. Now I can't make love to my wife anymore. You think too much, you wretched little beings." Umbaba had a terrible claw, and he drove the claw into poor Nuero's nostril, and he penetrated his brain. He penetrated his brain and started drinking Nuero's brain. Then he threw away the corpse. To this day, the Zulu believe that the Chitahuri eat human brains. Scientists have found skulls where the human brain has been eaten by someone or something. In this way, the Chitahuri absorb the brain of the humans, the brain that used to have telepathic capability and then lost it through the spoken word. So Do you have any response to that?
Holy crap. Story? Okay, so that's the story of what happened to us from the perspective of the survivors of the reptilian invasion.
Yeah, from the African Zulu tribe. So the Chitahuri would be probably, whatever reptilian that would be. It could
it'll be the draconians. Yeah.
Yeah, the draconians. Yeah.
Because that's what they do. They modify everything that they get to.
Yes, exactly. And you know, this story is really similar to Alex Collier's story. So there is, you know, there has always been a theory. I can even read in the Nag Hammadi library the Egyptian papyri that had, you know, was dug up in, I think, 1945. They do talk about humans being, you even think about Adam and Eve. Eve was taken out of Adam. You know, they were separated. Mm. Eve actually was in one of the scriptures says that Eve was actually the first one, and then Adam, she was a hermaphrodite, and then Adam was made out of clay by they would call them the rulers or the archons. So one of the things that when we're looking at the masculine feminine is just that who we are as male and female has been very manipulated, and it's being very manipulated.
Very interesting. Listen, Aurora, okay. we're coming up to the hard break in about a minute. So let's just stick a pin in that story. Now, what's very interesting, they say that they were made of clay, implying that their skin was like baked clay, like porcelain. So perhaps we could be actually talking about a ceramic robot. We'll see you on the other side with a few seeds of thoughts and see where we go. Because, you know, we're talking AI, aren't we? It's a whole new meaning.
We could be.
It's a whole new meaning to needing a new Android. Okay, thanks very much, Colleen. See you in 5 minutes.
Listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Opinions expressed on this station may not necessarily be facts. Opinions expressed on this station may not necessarily be facts. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. Tonight my guest is, please... Aurora.
Shenshuan. You can just call me Aurora. It's fine.
Aurora. Okay. So tonight, thank you very much. We're talking about what the connection is between AI, sacred sex. Now, one of the things, I just want to, bring up from the last hour, the Wolf Spirit Radio, we all love you there. It's great. We're all enjoying this very much. You know, people around the Revolution Radio, this is very unusual for what we normally listen to. But anyway, we're all up to speed on the AI. We're all up to speed on the reptilian agenda. But what was very interesting is the way that when the separation happened, as you said, this is ideal for the AI because the AI can feed on the difference between the male polarity and the female polarity. It's a generator. And it's just exactly like in the Matrix when the guy holds up a battery and says, you know, you're a copper top, you're a Duracell. So that sexual separation they did also is a way of, generating an energy, because that conflict that inevitably arises from that separation can be used as an energy source. And I believe, you know, this is the strife and the louche in the world that is produced, and which feeds the reptilian world and the AI agenda. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point that you're making. And, you know, again, because of things, you know, they're fed on conflict and negative energy. I think that's a very good point that you're making, JP. Definitely. And also, I think too that the by separating and making a male and female, they would be able to have sex with them. I'm not really sure. I mean, we don't know, but I don't know if they could have reproduced with an hermaphrodite, you know, if and so in order to put their DNA into these humans, they had to separate them. And so I think that's also could be considered the fall of humankind. You know, of humanity, you know, it was the fall.
So could you now relate that to what people regard in the Bible as the falling of the angels? Does that connect in any way with that? Or is this a different kind of falling?
Yeah. Well, I think they all connect. I think they all are interconnected. Definitely. But the way the stories go, they're just a little bit different. So if you read like the Nag Hammadi scriptures, these scriptures are like, come from like 5 BC. Many of them are way before the, you know, Old Testament was written, and they have very different views of how, you know, the creation story and how everything started and who Adam was and who Eve was and, you know, how everything came to be. And so, so that is, I think, really where in Gnosticism, where the term archon comes from. I'm correct in saying that. Is that right? Because I've never read it anywhere else but in those texts.
Well, you know, we have names for things, and if we describe them, we find that we have different names for the same description, you know. So what somebody might call an angel or a demon, somebody in another place might call a star visitor, and an earth dragon, and somebody may also recognize indigenous beings who live on this planet always, and, you know, elementals and, you know, all these different things. There are many different things and they've all got different names. But, essentially, we're talking about there's a problem with an artificial intelligence and we've got a problem with reptilians, both of which are regressive. Now, as far as I can see, there is a very, very small number of regressives who are going to make it past a very certain point soon. It's going to be like a comb that sweeps through, picking up, it's like a big knit comb, picking up the clumpy energy on the way. But the thing is, we all have to remain very, calm inside, and we basically just need to not freak out for the next 18 months or so and remain very calm. And I think, one of the things that we need to do is to get this balance inside of ourselves that we don't have this ongoing war between, well, let's say the original war is between human and reptilian, and then the AI is muscled in, or maybe the AI started it all just in order to get at us.
Yeah, I actually think that if you look at what these scriptures are, I think the AI were around even before, and I think it was the reptilians that the AI even actually, you know, used the reptilians for their agenda. So, I would just say the archons. So I that's how I see it, is they were part of, this creation story. And part of it was that the, archons, like the head archon, whose name was Yaldabaoth, you know, believed that he was God, and he really, and believed that nothing came before him, but what came before him was the one, the great spirit, which was Mother, Father, God, and the child. So there was a whole creation before, this, this archon, and he was actually, Yaldabaoth was created from, one of the, creations of, you know, the Great Spirit was Sophia, who, wanted to be able to have her own creation. So she did not, again, it's all about sex. She did not have sex with, the spirit. And so she created something that was sort of deformed, which was Yaldabaoth. And Yaldabaoth is basically the creator of this world, you know, that we're living in. So it was already, he was known as an aborted fetus, you know. So if that story is true, it, you know, it makes us look at
Shades of 2001.
World. What's that?
Shades of 2001, right at the end, is a fetus, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, maybe it's not the great baby that we're waiting for. It's a different thing. It's like,
yeah. Well, I think, you know, if we're going to learn anything from this, and that's why I think our sexuality is so important, and that is that the seed. So in these stories, you know, the archons, you know, made Adam, and they really didn't know how to animate him. And so Sophia, who, you know, was a full goddess, she breathed the breath of life into Adam. And with that breath of life came actually Eve. And Eve was from a higher dimension, and she's teaching Adam about the higher dimensionalities. And what happened is Yaldabaoth and all of the archons got very upset because now humans knew more than they did. They had more knowledge than they did, and they had to find a way to enslave them and to take away their knowledge. And so one of the ways was to separate them and not allow them to eat of the tree of knowledge. And in fact, what's really interesting, the whole story of Daphne, you know, running away from the gods so that she won't be raped and she turns into a tree. That's actually a story that you see several times where it could either be Sophia or Eve, but the archons want to have sex with her. They want to rape her and defile her. And so what she does is she creates a fake Eve, and then she goes into this tree, and she's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which I think will also has to do with what our DNA is. Do you know that that's the tree of life? So there's a lot of things in there that could be codes. I don't know if they are literal, but they could be coded words. But it's a story of really how humans were raped and separated and it was through rape. It was really through sex that we began to be controlled, and we lost the gifts. We lost our psychic gifts. We lost, the wholeness that we had. And, you know, so, you know, when you talk about, you know, the frustration that happens in relationships of not being able to understand, you know, the other person or their needs or be able to really connect. You know, this is the disturbance that, you know, does feed the wars and does feed, I think the difficulties
it's the conflict. Creates the conflict. And one of the things that holds men and women apart is money. Because that's what breaks all relationships up these days. Money and its distribution, you know, what do you spend it on? I want to spend it on weed and Xbox. Yeah, but you're 37.
Right.
Yeah, but man, I'm a gamer, you know. No, you're 37. Anyway, so, sorry about that.
Is this a personal story you're sharing?
No, not at all. It's a very generic story. See, I've been in computing since 1979, about then. And, and I don't play games on them. You know, to me, they're work or they're tools. You know?
Right, right.
But anyway. So, but the thing is, I am thankful to gamers for the pressing forward of various operating system features, including Ubuntu. So, I'm really up on that. So, but going back to your angle here, which is very interesting because it's partly how the wedge is put in humanity and where to look for that wedge. Because really, it's not about men and women at all. And I'm very much in agreement with you. It's not about men and women. It's about humans versus reptilians and what they've done to us and what they still do to us, and that they've still got their penis swinging around on this planet, sucking up our energy like a straw. Every time you walk down the subway and you see a bit of arse on the subway, you know, or a bit of rippling muscle, if you know, whatever it is that gets that little bit of louche in the sacral center, they steal it through their cording. And that's how they run their country.
yeah. And you know, so there's a few things that come to my mind. One I just want to say is that, so this idea of hermaphrodite, and you know, I know I'm talking about things that, you know, for many of us, you know, we would look at a hermaphrodite as something very deformed, and no one would want to, you know, even imagine, you know, having being born that way. But actually, I did a little bit of research on that, and I think it's like between 3 and 5% of humans are born both male and female, even have XXYY chromosomes. And what happens is that when they are born, the doctor says to their parents, "Well, you're going to need to decide what sex this child is going to be." And so they'll choose one or the other, male or female, and then the child grows up to maybe be 12 and said, "You picked the wrong sex for me. I should have been this." And there's, you know, so because we can do all these surgeries and make anybody into male or female, it's confusing. And so one of the things that I researched on somebody's website who was a hermaphrodite and a full hermaphrodite, and this person was saying that, you know, in many Native American tribes, when a baby was born hermaphrodite, that baby would grow up to be the chief of that tribe, because they saw that really as actually an enlightened being.
Representative.
Yeah.
They could represent both sides.
Exactly.
Excellent,
and they were full, and they were not disconnected from, you know, so there was something about that they really honored that. And, you know, so, and the fact that even when we are, you know, interuterine, we are hermaphrodites for a period of time before we actually form into a specific sex. So that pattern in our humanness, in our humanity, has been there always. And so it's just interesting to think about that story and to think about where we are now and how we would we proceed. So I am going to say what I've really found. And so
keep going, because you were going to talk about five kinds of sex.
Oh yeah, that's right. I do
five
talk
kinds
about
of sex, baby.
Sex.
Hang on, let me just put some echo on the five kinds of sex.
Boy, that sounded pretty good. So yeah, let's talk about five different types of sex. So the first kind of sex is procreational. That's pretty self-explanatory. You know, you have sex and you make a baby and you have that baby. The second type of sex is recreational, which is pretty much everything else that most people, you know, do. I mean, it's like, if you're not going to make a baby, you're just going to enjoy yourself, right? the Kama Sutra and a lot of Tantra is, I would really include with, recreational sex. The caveat with only having recreational sex is that you deplete your, sexual reserves, your jing. And so maybe, when you get to be, you know, in your 40s or 50s, 60s, you lose energy. And so, so you're not really, as robust as you were when you were like 19 and, you know, you, could have sex like 10 times a day and there was no problem. The third type of sex is what's called restorational sex. So this is something that I saw somebody writing something in the chat line that does that mean that I just have to never have sex or I'm going to grow old? And really, not at all. In fact, having sex is really wonderful. It's really ejaculation, which is the issue here. And for women, it's really, you know, having a period when you're not going to make a baby. And so the Taoists had practices, the Taoists do have practices where you, stimulate each other or you stimulate yourself without actually, you know, releasing. And what happens is that really starts to grow your jing. So you actually can get more in your bank account and, you know, of jing. And so as you do this, every time that you regenerate yourself through some of these practices, you know, you feed your organs, you feed your brain, you feed different parts of your body. And so you can feel like really empowered, really strong, really,
hang on a second. I like the sound of this. Okay. So what you're talking about is, during your conjunction, instead of, really going for it, you move the energy from where it's building up to like, maybe your hip replacement or maybe some new teeth. Or some more follicles or something like that. Is that what you're talking about? But all these old tantric masters, they never fixed on the follicles. They all got bald.
Yeah. No.
A male pattern thing?
In a certain way, yes. I mean, the energy is going to move where it's needed in the body. So let's just say you're with your beloved, okay, and you're touching each other and you don't care about reaching the big O. What you're interested in is just building the energy, building that ecstatic energy, which is Kundalini energy. Okay. And you just keep building and building and there's no, you know, again, it's leaving the performance out of it. You're not interested in making each other, you know, scream or come or whatever. You're really more interested in just the whole experience of your body, of their body, and actually even stopping before either of you, you know, come. And you can do this for days and weeks and months on end. If you really want to have a very close relationship with your beloved, try not coming for a while. You will get so close. You will fall so in love. I'm not kidding you. It's so amazing. And that's partly because every time you do ejaculate, there's a hormone that gets released both in the male and the female. And it's the same with a woman who having an orgasm. And, you know, I'm going to say to everybody out there, I was so disappointed when I learned the truth about sexuality. So if you're going, this is such a bummer. I've been right with you in my journey with this, but,
Always about good news, I am.
Yeah, I know, really. But there's actually a hormone that's released that it really basically pushes you apart where you actually don't want to be around each other. And this is, you know, I think one of the things that
I know that.
Well, of course you do.
I've felt that.
Oh, we all have. We all felt, and we all wonder, you know, wow, that was so great. We made love, and now I don't want, I just want him to be as far away from me as possible. And you think, what's wrong with me? I'm supposed to want to cuddle or, you know, but I just, give me a week away, and I'll be okay.
Well, now, is that a reptilian thing?
What is that?
Is that a reptilian thing?
Well, I have to say that probably all of it is, because I don't know if we made love before we were separated in the same way we do now. So, you know, I'm just saying we've been altered.
I see.
And we have to figure out how to do this. And actually, I think that there were some enlightened masters that taught humans how to do these tantric practices. Because if people want to look it up, Caressa is where you just caress each other and you just keep doing this for periods of time and neither of you come I've done it. It's just amazing the closeness that you get with people. It's exactly the opposite of what you're sort of told in the media, what happens, because you can't imagine that. It's just like, you know what it's like? You know, I talked about the ice cream, having that first lick, and then you eat the whole, like, you know, carton and you feel sick. Kind of, you know, this type of sex without coming is like every day licking the ice cream, and it only tastes better and better.
It's a bit like nouveau cuisine of love. You just take a little tasty little soupçon here and there, rather than go in for the huge banquet.
Exactly. And so, you know, so this idea that you make love, you both, you know, completely exhaust your energy, and now you have to build it back up. And so what that does is it's nature's way of saying you can't have sex, you know, and get pregnant over and over and over again. So I've got to build something in here so that you're going to want to reject each other for a while. And also what happens is with that, there also is the sense of if we want to be monogamous with somebody, there's this sense that, I'm spent with that person. Let me find something else that will now build up my, you know, that will have some more polarity, because the polarity has been broken. So we'll have more polarity with me. And so, you know, that's when, you know, people look around for someone else. And if you've been in a relationship for a long time, it feels like you've almost homogenized with that person rather than created a polarity. But without an ejaculation for periods of time, it really grows quite a lot. And so it does sound like, oh, you know, I thought the orgasm was like the whole thing, but it really actually there's really actually so much more to it, because the other part of it is, you think about these elixirs that I talked about earlier, you're cultivating those, you're making those elixirs fuller and stronger, and you may be doing it with your partner, or you could even do this on your own. You can do solo practices. You don't always have to do a dual practice. And these field of elixirs are being cultivated and being made stronger. So it does affect your mind. You know, if you want to make your mind younger, you know, this is one way to do it. So we're talking about rejuvenational sex. We're rejuvenating the body, and we're using our sexual energy to rejuvenate ourselves. And I can tell you, like, a couple of practices that men can do, if they want to increase their, like, semen. One is to take some cool water and just soak their scrotum in that every day, because the scrotum is on the outside of the body for a reason, because the body temperature is very hot, and so it can kill, you know, sperm with heat. And so if you soak your scrotum, you know, for like 3 minutes a day for a month, and then don't do it for a month, and then do it for another month, you're just kind of every other month, it actually will increase your semen. Another way to increase.
Hang on a second before we move on. This is a, you know, cause, okay, so I've been thinking about like enhancements or these kind of comfort things, you know, like one of the thing is like an artificial foreskin that makes it feel like you're kind of, you've got that same hold that a real foreskin would have, is like some sort of silicon kind of thing that you could put on if you've had a circumcision that allows you to have the same kind of comfort that you had before. But then, as you're saying, I was thinking like some sort of wicking or air conditioning for the underpants would be fantastic. Would be fantastic. Wouldn't it be great not to have sweaty nuts? You know, that would be the, like, shouldn't the world be beating a path to your door?
You're talking about ball fans or something like that?
Well, I don't know, some sort of, no, I'd may probably a liquid cooling. You know, like the Fremen steel suit in Dune. They had a steel suit that when you walked, it activated pumping. So it pumped this water, the distilled, you know, osmotically around your body and all this stuff. So, you could have some kind of water cooling system, you know, liquid cooled, underpants, which would, keep the family jewels in a pristine and perfect unsweaty condition. Anyway, meanwhile, my address is, if anybody's invented, one of these, a large size or a few pairs, so just in case you have to wash them. And, anyway, crazy wacky inventions. Hey, listen, what is your, can you spell out very carefully your website, please?
Okay. It's healing. HEALING. Tao. TAO. Massage. MASSAGE.com.
Right. Cause it says account suspended here.
What?
Yeah, I know, but we'll do. You know, we'll discuss that later. But anyway, for the moment, you've probably got a bill to pay, and you'll be back in online in a couple of hours, just after the show, because well, there we go. That's what it's saying here. But we'll fix that. Anyhow,
So you don't want to know the fourth type of sex?
Yeah, because the third type sounds really good already. Because I'm feeling I could grow a couple of new molars. Has anyone grown new teeth? Using?
Yeah, actually there are accounts where different Taoists and you know, different people back in China actually grew new teeth. Teeth are part of Jing, and they're part of the blood, just like the hair and the bone are all, you know, blood, marrow, and all of that. So yeah. Also, I guess one of the things I just wanted to say about rejuvenational, so, you know, I was saying how, you know, in China, these emperors would have all these wives, right? And so we're talking about the loss of Jing. So if they're pleasing, you know, all their wives every night, and, you know, whatever they, you know, whatever they're doing, that really depletes their Jing. So what was taught to them was to go ahead and make love to them all, but just never to come. And that's actually how many of them rejuvenated themselves. And, you know, what was depleted actually could be restored rather than. So it's really, you know, this is important information. If anybody feels that they're starting to feel depleted, and one way is to practice these techniques. And it does take some willpower, but actually I know so many men who like feel amazing. It's really interesting because I've even listened to men online who, you know, conserve, and they talk about how much more attractive they become to women because they have all this Jing. And it's sort of like a bad joke, you know, in the fact that you're no longer ejaculating, but you're still, you know, you're even more attractive than when you were. So it can really
well, it's like walking around, you know, this is like, I'm not going to make you pregnant, we're going to have fun. You know, what's not to love, as they say. What's not to make love with? And that sounds great. And yeah, so it's this jing. So, once again, do you want to cover the three, positions on the body once again and, the energy that goes with those positions?
Yes,
because Sanskrit words, I think.
They're Chinese words. They're Mandarin. Yeah. All right. So before I do that, I will cover that, but I just want to talk about the last type of
More types of sex. Oh, by the way, is it your end that you can hear?
It is my end.
All
and
right.
You know why?
That's the chat room. There's a chat room open. There's a little speaker in the corner that you can switch to. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought it was me, and I thought I never have that. That can't be me. How could it be me? I'm never. Yes, I am. I'm always making mistakes. Anyway, meanwhile, back at type number four of love.
Number four, and keep make sure and keep that question there, and because I'll get right to it because. It'll be easier to answer that question after I said the fourth type. So the fourth type is called transformational sexuality. And this is where, this is really of interest of anybody who wants to ascend. So some of your listeners, who are interested in ascension, will, appreciate this type of sexuality. Transformational sex is basically moving the kundalini energy up the center channel, which is in, you know, known as the sushumna, up, opening up every chakra, popping open the brow and the crown chakra and ascending into other dimensionality. And this type of, So, you know, anybody who is really experiencing, awakening, through Kundalini will basically, have orgasm after orgasm, but you may not be coming. Your body is just orgasming and it's just opening everything up. And that energy is very electric. It's, you know, it's magnetic. It has, you know, it's awakening things. So transformational sex really brings you to a place of what I call your true nature. And it's very much of what, like Aurora talked about yesterday about who we truly are. And when we are truly connected, when that is masculine in us and that which is feminine in us. So, you know, earlier I talked about that we were separated. But still within us, we have the masculine and we have the feminine through the Shakti energy and the Shiva energy. They can come together and become whole. So I guess that's what I'm saying is sort of the good news is transformational sex is we're taking what was once separated from us and bringing it together as something that is whole. And you don't need a partner to do it. It can be done. I've discovered on your own. There are practices to do that. And sometimes it's easier to do it without a partner because there's less performance involved in it. But deep meditation, when somebody is sitting in deep meditation and holding a posture, you know, for long periods of time, this Kundalini energy will move. So it is this sexual energy that actually is that ascension that starts to rise. So transformational sex really has to do with becoming like gods really and rising into our birthright. And that is, you know, fully connecting our DNA, opening up the brain that we, you know, lost, the gifts that we had of being, you know, psychic or interdimensional beings. And so ultimately, That's where we really want to go. And that's why these practices were really practiced. And they weren't just about, you know, having a lot of sex with people and recreation. They were really about, moving ourselves in a lifetime to the place where we could be multidimensional beings so that when we passed, when we died, we could move wherever we wanted because we had already achieved that knowledge. And so that's a really important aspect of our sexuality. And it's really what has been hidden from us through religion, because why would they, if they want to tell you what heaven is and how to get there, they're not going to want you to be able to do it yourself. They're not going to be able to give you the secrets that are hidden in your body of how to do that. But if you read in the Nag Hammadi and different texts, even in the mystical, Catholic texts, in the Kabbalah, in, you know, all of these mystical texts, you really see that when they're talking about the Christos, when they're talking about, the anointed one, when they're talking, you know, they have all of these different terms, they are talking about this Kundalini rising, and they are, and this is really what, I think Jesus talked about, and that's what he was really teaching, not that you die on a cross and you're resurrected. I think that was things were taken out of context and made to be something else. And so these teachings are really, once you understand what they really are hidden in these religions, and they've kind of kept them hidden so that we basically look to someone else to bring us to this experience rather than doing it ourselves. Okay.
And so that's the tradition of initiation into a mystery school, in the tantric, or maybe even the black or white tantric position. I keep using the word position.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. If you want to talk about reptilian, we'll talk about the black side of things.
We'd like to talk reptilian agenda, because, you know, we do have some reptilian listeners. There is a small group of progressive reptilians, and, we love them, and we bring them in because, you know, they're kind of halfway and don't belong to anybody and don't have any friends. So, as long as they play nice and don't hurt anybody, you know, they're fine.
So before we get there, I do want to answer that person's question. So what I was talking about earlier is the three field of elixirs. So we have the upper field of elixir, we have the middle field of elixir, and we have the lower field of elixir. And the lower field of elixir is, of course, where a storage of jing will be, because that's where our sexual organs are. But we also want to be able to increase stores of qi as well. So it's the jing, qi, and shen that we want to be able to store in these field of elixirs, or cultivate in these field of elixirs. So did I answer that question? So the upper field of elixir, the spirit, the shen, the spirit, is fed by meditation, by chanting, by visualization, by connection, you know, to cosmic energy, group meditation, very, very helpful for the upper field of elixir. The middle field of elixir, the things that come, you know, well, first of all, this is where we breathe from. So obviously the lungs, so the breath, breathing exercises, pranayama, and then of course the opening up of the, places. So like for the female, the breasts, there's actually a term called the, elixir field, where you massage the breasts and you're moving these energies in the breast. And it's one way of actually decreasing a woman's, menstrual cycle. So you actually don't have as large a menstruation. You don't lose as much energy. And then,
does that also mean less period pain?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. I tell you, you want to do a webinar on that?
I'll tell you.
Just doing maybe a few single things, because that would help so many people, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, these are things that we don't really realize that the body can do. Because when we're born,
body technology. Go on. When we're born,
when a boy has his first ejaculation and a girl has her first period, actually, that's what I call what I personally call the fall of humans, because that's the time where your body starts to age more quickly, because now all of this energy is going out, and so there's this sense that everything is going down and out, rather than reversing. And Taoists are all about reversing it, you know? So how do you reverse it? And that's what, the practices of, they call it slaying the red dragon. You'll like that one, slaying the red dragon. And that is reversing your cycle so that you don't lose it. Because why would a woman, again, if we have an intelligent creator, why would a woman need to have a period every month if she's not going to get pregnant every month? There's no reason. An intelligent thing to do would be, can you stop it? And the Taoists found different ways to do that. So they found ways to rejuvenate themselves. They found ways to take themselves to, different interdimensionalities through their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done
Close Encounters of the first, second, third, and fourth kind. All right.
Okay.
Yep. So, this final encounter, you know, how good can it get? This is my question. You know, we've already gone up to unity consciousness and godhood. What comes next, as it were? Do you actually come? Is that the thing? You know, here's the party.
Well, I think if I hear your question correctly, really it's going back to source. And interestingly enough, in early Christianity, the term they call what Jesus was teaching was called the way. And the Taoists 500 years earlier, that the term Tao actually means the way.
Correct.
And correct.
one of my guides has a phrase about me that is about that. It's very funny. So anyway, so the way, yes.
So really, basically, you want to get back to the one, to source, that nothing came before it, that there is really no name for it, but that we all, have come from, that is empty yet full, and really, we're all connected to that source, but it's the unformed, you know, we create, the Tao, let's put it this way. That is source created form so it could experience itself, because you can't experience something unless you understand the duality of it. You know, there has to be a mirror image of it. So we have yin and yang that was the separation of, the Tao, it's separated into two. And then within yin and yang, we also have yin and yang. And so there's always going to be change. And that's what this whole world is about, is the constant change. If things are too yang, they'll move into yin. And if they're too yin, they'll move into yang. And that's what we can, the thing that's constant on in this earthly realm is change. But when you go to a place which has absolute stillness, then that's really home. And so there isn't an even a thought about it. There's no thought. There's absolute no thought. Which is part of the reason why when they say, I don't like the term you have to kill your ego. I like the term more you have to educate your ego, but the ego doesn't want to ever have any thoughts, because that's delicious, and it doesn't want to just be nothing and empty, whatever. So in this journey of going back to source and going back to the one, it does really mean letting go of those things that we're really attached to. And most of them are like our addictive thinking or our addictions or our need to, be important or mean something or be validated or whatever. But when you are in your true nature, which is love, peace, and joy, and that is our true nature, that is who we are. And when you when you are in that place, you know, like for instance, in the practice that I have that I do with people, when they leave, they're transformed. They don't look like the same person who walked in. And it, you know, I could have seen them for an hour and a half and they leave with their eyes just bright, their shun illuminated, their whole body regenerated and open heart and, you know, just so open and very, very different. And this is what happens when our ego gets, you know, educated and sort of set to the side, and we realize that we are peace. We don't have to go looking for it or try and make it happen. We are joy. That's what we are innately. We are love. We don't have to go out there and find it. It's in us, and we are completely full beings. It's the gift that Sophia gave us, you know, when we were disconnected from that energy, or that when the archons, you know, started to manipulate us. She breathed that breath of the spirit in us, and we are connected to that source, and we can't not be connected to it. And that's why, you know, every generation finds their kundalini energy again. And sometimes people have spontaneous kundalini energy rising. Sometimes you have to really sit in meditation and work at it. But that is what everybody was really trying to do. So we are talking about sexual energy here. We are talking about our sexual energy and how sacred it is. I mean, the sacrum is a triangle. Okay. So we're talking about the Trinity here, and the word comes from sacred. Okay. What is the crown called? The name of it? Oh, fontanelle. Fontanelle means fountain. And so this is the kundalini energy coming up and fountaining out of the fontanelle. If you look at some of the terms that we have, they're all pointing to these techniques, to these teachings that we are not just these slaves to these, the tyranny that was worked upon us, but we are whole. We have it all. We really have it all. We have the potential for all of it. We have in our DNA, we have that living library. We do have it, but we have to awaken to the fact that we have to treat our sexuality differently. It just can't be business as usual. We can't just fall into these patterns that we are really sort of taught at a very early age that this is what you need to do. If you're a man, this is what you need to do. If you're a woman, that more and more is necessarily going to be better. If that's the case, you'll always be hungry. And there are ways to fill yourself up, because when you feel love and you feel peace and you feel joy, there's nothing, there's nowhere to go. Where else, what else do you need? You're content, you're happy, you're at peace.
And then?
And we didn't get to the fifth type of sex, which is something that I, it's difficult for me to talk about because there's a dark and a light side to it.
Okay, so hang on a second.
Restorational,
Let's just take a quick breath here, because one of the things that I, when we were talking about, tantric practices and things like that, one of the basic things is that we're trying to achieve a dynamic flow that's like a swaying from one side to the other between the man and the woman, in that generates the energy between them that they can use for themselves rather than it being stolen by the archons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more or less.
Did somebody write that?
What? No, I just wrote that in my head.
You just wrote that?
Yeah, or it just came out of my mouth. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't take responsibility for everything that comes out of my mouth. Sometimes it's rubbish, but maybe I should take responsibility for the rubbish that comes out of
Anyway. Totally. Right on. Read that one more time.
I couldn't make that up again. It just came off the top of my head, please. But you can always listen to the recording. Somebody could transcribe it. Maybe somebody found it. Maybe somebody thought, oh, that was a good little quote. I'll write that down. Vanessa, did you write that down? Vanessa does all these things. I love Vanessa. She's gorgeous. Actually, we're all brilliant. They're all brilliant. I love them all. And I'm so in love with everybody at the moment. So it's wonderful. Sacred and Fountain, says Vanessa. Interesting. Speak more about fountains. Because it's like, we need to know, I mean, when you say there's a field of elixir, you could also say there might be a fountain in the middle of that you can kind of have a sip from and, replenish that energy of, right, recycle yeah. that energy somehow.
Oh, well, that's not really what I'm talking about here.
No, how does it work then?
Let me see if I can explain this. So in the Taoist practices, the energy begins by moving from the perineum up the back and down the front of the body, okay? This is the channel that you want to get moving, okay? It's called the microcosmic orbit. And this would be what would be termed the fire cycle. We want to heat the energy up. So that cycle has to do with fire. In Taoist practice, there's always elements. So we're talking about fire and water. So what happens when you heat water? Because what we're doing is we're heating the water element of the body and we're mostly made of water.
I said things would get steamy. I was right. Finally, you know, it's taken two hours to get steamy. We got about 2 minutes left to come to the climax of this very special sacred show.
So what happens when water is boiled is the steam rises, okay? And that's what we're talking about, is that when there's heat here, and in order to have heat, you have to have fire. In order to have fire, you have to have jing, okay? So that's why meditators and that's why monks would save their jing, because they wanted to heat the energy so that it would rise up. And so it would rise up, and as that energy moves up, it opens up all the chakras, and then it is like a geyser. It's like a geyser, right? It's that energy flows up and it's like a geyser, and then it, you know, comes out the crown. So that's what we're talking about.
Old Faithful, indeed.
Old Faithful, yes.
So, well, look, for the moment, if anybody needs to check out your site, well, check out the, I'm going to put it up in a day or so.
Are you really saying that the site has closed down?
It says it here. But anyway, we'll fix that. Come to my show notes and I'll put a direction in. All right. Thank you so much.
I was just on this site today. Is that possible?
We'll talk about it. All right. God bless you. Thank you very much. We'll fix that.
All right.
Thank you.